Well, hello and welcome to the Mac Attack Show. I'm your host, Mac, and I am very delighted and excited today to be back. First of all, it's been too long. To our faithful listeners, I've missed you so, and I hope and pray that you've been blessed and highly favored by the best. That is God, Jesus Christ. And tonight, I am so grateful to have a long-term friend, someone who's like family. Qtina Walker is with us. Wherever you are, come on, clap your hands and say thank God for this wonderful jewel of a person who will learn more about what she does. In fact, I'm about to, steal the thunder, but Qtina, first of all, hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. So, can you tell us about yourself and what it is that you do?
Yes. So, I'm Qtina Walker. I'm a native of Petersburg, Virginia. I had the opportunity to attend the Hampton University, where I received my bachelor's degree in psychology.
Real HU.
Yes. Then I moved out to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I pursued my education specialist degree in a field called school psychology. And so I'm very proud and honored to say that I am a nationally certified school psychologist and I work in the state of Virginia. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Also, happily married to a wonderful young man, but we don't want to take away from him or the rest of your wonderful family, but you said something about school psychologists, and I want the listeners to know that's why we're here tonight. We celebrate Minority Mental Health Awareness. In July is regarded as Minority Mental Health Awareness Month. And I thought it not robbery to talk to someone who specializes in the field. But so often when we talk about mental health, it's in the realm of adults. But today I wanted to have a conversation about the babies, about the children, and how we engage in young people or engage with young people and how we interact with them. And so Qtina, if you could tell me, what are some of the more common issues you see in young people today when it comes to mental health awareness or mental health disorder?
Okay, so when it comes to mental health awareness or disorders, you'll hear me interchange out probably mental illness to, I think some folks kind of get confused in, knowing what mental health is. So according to the CDC, mental health is our emotional, psychological, and social well-being, right? It affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. And this does apply to our babies. A lot of folks, sometimes ask, where does it come from? Or, what's causing these things? But there is no single-handed thing that causes mental health. It actually could be a number of things that could be causing this for our babies. And so I just kind of wanted to explain that first, because I think we need to, have some clarity on what it is and what mental health is.
So, if I could ask a question, because so many people say, yeah, it runs in their family. So that's not necessarily true.
It could be.
Okay.
It could be. So there's a number of factors that could play a role, right? Now, I think, we just kind of, say it kind of lacks, in our community. But, things that could potentially play a role. I'm not going to say it's the driving cause per se, but yes, there could be some biological factors there. There could be a chemical imbalance in the brain. Exposure to trauma could cause, feelings of isolation and loneliness can bring on mental health concerns and issues also.
I was just about to ask, one of those keywords or buzzwords the last 5 to 10 years has been trauma and trauma-informed care. Yep. And ACEs for adverse childhood experiences. So, thank you.
Yeah, so that's definitely it. So being a little bit more specific though to your question, some of the common things that we see among our young people now when it comes to mental health is depression. And that can be defined as sad or low mood that persists for at least, 2 weeks. And just a quick statistics from the National Council for Behavioral Health Stats, approximately 8.7 youth will be diagnosed with depressive disorder during their lifetime. Another area is anxiety. It is a feeling of threat or worry caused by perceived threats in an environment. And again, from the same site, approximately 8.3% of youth will be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder during their lifetime.
Wow.
And I'm just hitting on kind of the top four. Another common one we hear. Oh, I will go back and mention for that anxiety and depression one, though. As a person who assessed for these areas in the school, I do not medically diagnose, but I can assess for these areas in the school, right? And I find myself in our community, especially when it comes to our minority children, that I have to dig really deep to get them to give me something, you know what I mean? Because we mask so well. And I quite haven't put my finger out as to why we mask our characteristics so well, but it's not as easy to say this child has anxiety or this child has depression all the time, right? I do find myself having to dig a little bit there.
Okay.
Another common issue is one that some hear quite a bit. It's ADHD. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That's looking at hyperactivity and attention, impulsivity, sometimes a combination of all, right? And so approximately 4.2% of youth will be diagnosed with ADHD during their lifetime. And so, and again, like I said, that's a common one that we see, especially among our African American boys, that was a uptick in that. At one point. So, and then the last one that I kind of wanted to touch on too, was PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's when a child may have persistent frightened thoughts and memories or flashbacks from a traumatic event. And it says many children, you know, are exposed to trauma. They're exposed to those ACEs, right? We mentioned that briefly. But only about 1.5% of you actually experience PTSD that severely impairs them from them being able to function on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Wow. All right. That's great. So I know anxiety is considered the most diagnosed mental illness, at least in North America. Is that correct?
It's up there. I'm being honest with you, I'm not 100% sure right now, but I do know it is up there. It is a diagnosis that is frequently given to our young people.
Okay, all right. So, based off of your exposure, with young people, because so many people would say, well, they're children. Why do they have anxiety? What are some of the things that are causing anxiety in our young people? Is it school? Is it parents? Is it living conditions? What are some things that are going on? Because some people may not know.
Right. So it could be a little bit of all of those things, right? You know, anxiety looks at, like I said, again, that feeling of worry, that stress, right? That's kind of what that looks like. And so for them, you know, you may be like, oh my goodness, you're taking that to heart. But sometimes it's kind of like they can't help it or control it a little bit, you know? So that's why it's important that we put strategies in place and that we help children learn how to cope with things. I think that's another piece too that's missing. We have to teach our children how to cope with various situations. And so that's what we try to do in the school, a school psychologist also. But again, it just kind of goes back to there's no one single-handed, you know, issue that may cause it. It could be a number of things. Trauma, abuse, biological factors could play a role. And like I said, sometimes a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, with that being said, now I would assume the chemical imbalance is the same across the board, whether it's a young person or an adult. But I wanted to ask you, what are some differences in how mental illness is treated in children in comparison to adults or even seniors?
Okay. So yeah, so when it comes to the treatment of children, I'm not sure if people really are aware of the variety of ways children can receive therapeutic treatment for mental health disorders. I think we tend to always think of, okay, the child is going to go in this room, sit down on a couch or in a chair, right, and talk to this adult with a clipboard, right? Okay. But that's not always the case. So there are a variety of ways children can receive therapeutic services, right? You got play therapy for our babies. They can do music therapy, art therapy, and then there's some behavior therapy. And then depending on more for our adolescents, they'll have group therapy. So those are just some different types of therapy and programs that are out there for our kiddos when it comes to the treatment for our babies.
Okay. All right. Very good. So what are some things that people need to know when it comes to interacting or engaging with a young person that has mental illness, that if they know it? And even sometimes people say some things that can be offensive or do some things that are offensive and they didn't. Right. So what are just some good practices right. overall when it comes to mental illness, and especially in regards to children?
Yes. So when you're working with children, definitely approach them with love, like most importantly, because you don't know, right? You said that correctly. Sometimes you just don't know what a child may be going through. So just definitely approaching them from love, with love and from a genuine place, but also making sure we practice patience. Sometimes depending on the disorder that they may have, some behaviors may occur. And I know that sometimes can push our buttons as an adult, but we have to remember that they're a child and that we are the adult. And so definitely having patience with them is very key. Also acknowledging and being open-minded to the fact that they may process information differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes we do kind of get rigid or try to put them in a box and say, you know, well, this is the right way, or you have to think this way, or why aren't you thinking this way, or why can't you see it my way, right? But their way of thinking and processing, you know, the, whatever happened to them or whatever the situation was, or even if them just trying to learn something new, you know, just because they may think about it a little bit differently doesn't mean that that's wrong. And then lastly, but certainly not least, listen. Listen to children. Read their body language. Sometimes we want to tell children what we think is right and what we think is best for them. But if we really, really listen to them, they will tell us exactly what they need in that moment.
Amen. Awesome. All right. All right. Last but not least, so me being a pastor, I'm always passionate about the church and how we engage in many areas, but especially this. How can the church and other entities minister and counsel youth with mental health disorders or mental illness? And the twofold question, how can they minister okay. to their families? Because it's not just the okay. children, but also their parents.
Right, absolutely. Excuse me. So yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to the church and dealing with the mental health disorders and children with mental health disorders and their families, I think it's important that we continue to have these conversations around mental health. I'm not sure if they're being had enough, honestly. I think the church is a great place for people to be exposed to this topic, right? And gather information. You know, I'm all about putting practical things into place. And so I'm like, okay, you know, an idea could potentially be, you know, the church having a community resource fair, right? Or the church having some type of mental health first aid training for those who are interested. So they'll be able to know how to engage with someone who may be having a moment of crisis of such, right? Also, like I said, just being able and willing to open up and acknowledge mental health is very important. And I feel like, especially in the African American community, like once we see our faith-based leaders having these conversations openly and willingly, I think it's going to give us more of a comfort to be open-minded to receiving the proper treatment for it, which could be therapy, right? Sometimes I think we're closed-minded to therapy, but I think once we see our faith leaders embracing and diving into that conversation, I think we'll be a little bit more open-minded about it.
Amen.
Awesome.
Thank you. Great insight. Anything you would like to share with the people? Anything that we did not address that you would like to add?
The only thing I would probably add is, especially for parents with our babies, our little children, whether they're what, pre-K all the way through 12, you know, just keep in mind that if you don't know where to go for assistance, by all means, I hope that you can go to your church and get resources. But also know that your child's school probably has a community resource list already available to you. Where you can access and see which different agencies are around you and which services that they, provide. So definitely don't count out your child's school. They definitely have those resources there available for you, and hopefully they have a school psychologist. I know some, depending on where you are, if you're in more rural areas, you probably only have one for the whole area, but still you do have a school psychologist assigned to your school, as well as a school social worker. Don't forget my social workers. We work closely together with our school social workers, and we would love to definitely help connect you with whatever resources you may need for your family.
Amen. Qutina, thank you so much. This has been great. And I do, before we close out, I want to pray for all of our young people dealing with mental illness. I have read in several places that prayer and spirituality does help. It does not necessarily mean that a person will immediately be healed or delivered from mental illness. Some people in some conditions, they are lifelong. But I do believe prayer can help in any situation. And so I want to pray for the young people. And then I want to thank you publicly for your time, for your insight. And I hope and pray that now that we know better, we can do better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And we thank you for this conversation about mental illness and young people. We pray, Lord God, for every school psychologist, every family dealing with mental health disorders, every child dealing with anxiety, depression, and other mental illnesses. God, we pray that you give them peace. And we pray for those that love them, that you give us information and insight on how to live, how to care, how to nurture, and how to support those dealing with mental illness. God, we pray for this world. There's more compassion, there's more understanding, so that all people will be more supportive and caring for those dealing with mental illness. And God, we pray for Sister Walker, Lord, continue to bless her as she touches so many lives. Bless her and all of those who serve those dealing with mental illness. We thank you, God, for what you've done and how you've brought us this far. But we know, we recognize, God, we've got a long way to go. So help us, Lord, to fulfill the mission and the purpose you've given to us when it comes to caring for those with mental illness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Walker. Thank you, Qutina. Like she said, y'all, reach out to your local school psychologist. If you know your child needs some help, get some help. Don't be too prideful. But go ahead and get
that's
some
right.
Help. Amen.
Early intervention is the best. Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless y'all. Tune in next month for more episodes on community advocacy and so many other great topics. Love y'all with the love of Christ. God bless.